All right, get out your Bibles. Yes. Get out that Bible. How many of you do not have a Bible and want a Bible? Everybody has a Bible? Or you have them and you don't want them, don't have them and don't want one? Look at you, Brandon. Why? Because you were in my vision line. I'm faced just like this. You sat there on purpose. All right, John, go to John. We are in a series. What is it called? Delavey, you are kind of slow today. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a couple people sick. That's no fun. All right. Where I Belong, we're in this series of Where I Belong. We talked in the beginning about that we all have this longing to belong. I like that you guys are right here, and I'll just come right up to you, so don't be afraid. Cool. Then these people can't see me. So we have this longing to belong, to be a part of something, to be connected. Everybody has this sense of belonging and wanting to belong. And so we talked about that we belong with Him. We belong with God. We belong with Jesus. We belong in His presence. We belong next to Him. He is our, God is our Father, and He calls us His children, right? So we belong with Him in that family, a part of His house and His home, right? Amen. That's a pretty cool thing that you belong to Him. And so we can come boldly before God because we belong with Him and He wants us to be with Him. And then we talked about knowing Him, what it's like to know Him, that we are called to know Him, and in His presence we begin to know Him more, right? And Justin gave a message a couple weeks ago about being like Him. Because we know Him and as we come to know Him more, we start to become like Him, right? And he preached a great message on what it's like to live like Jesus. Right? If we're called Christians, they were called little Christ, right? They were like Jesus, and we are called to be the same way, that we would live a life that looks like Him. We wouldn't just call ourselves Christians, but we would actually act on it, right? Faith without works is dead. It's dead. So that outward expression of our love of what God's doing inside should come out of us through the way that we love people, the way that we are in people's lives, the way that He reflects out of us, right? And then Mariah preached a powerful message last week. If you weren't here, you missed out. It was amazing. The girl can preach. I was expecting a little more than that. Yeah. Yeah, she spoke a great message on, what'd you speak on again? It was really good. But it was on, no, she spoke on being in God's grace, that He grasps us, that He grips us, right? Do we remember that analogy that she brought up Gabe Holland and he grabbed Oliver and held on to him for the most part? Except for that little drop, but God doesn't do that with us, right? That He holds on to us, right? That our destiny is not this destination. It's not just a place that we come to and we're like, ooh, we reached our destiny. It's the whole journey. It's the places that God takes us through, right? And that we would be encouraged that we are continually in His grasp, in His grace, that He is holding on to us in every season, and He is walking us through those challenges, even when it's difficult. God is holding on to us, and He's taking us through those areas, and that we wouldn't get discouraged, and we wouldn't have our hope deferred, but that we would continue to know that we are with Him. Amen? That was a good message. I did remember. I was just kidding. Now this week, I want to talk about where we belong. We belong. What? With Jesus? I already said that one. We belong together. We belong with one another. And the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is Bear With Me. Bear with me. Right? We belong together in unity. We belong with one another. We belong as a family. That's why Jesus talks about the body of Christ being one. That we are one body functioning together. We are called to be with one another. So we should learn to like one another. Right? Learn to be with one another and want to grow in our relationship with each other. Now turn with me to John chapter 13. Bless you. John chapter 13. Bear with me. Bear with me. John 13:31. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer, and as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you cannot come where I am going. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other." Seems pretty simple, right? Then he goes a little deeper. "Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That's pretty powerful, huh? The way that we love people, the way that we love one another, reflects Jesus. It shows that we are his. It shows that we are like him in the way that we love. Now let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John, that's towards the end of the Bible. Verse 11, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely," say surely, it's just a fun word to say, "we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God." Has anybody in here seen God? I thought for sure someone would raise their hand. "Nobody has actually seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." Or other translation said, "is made perfect in us." His love is made perfect in us when we love each other. "And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and that he lives in us." That's a good thing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that it is truth. God, I pray that you would teach us tonight how to love each other. God, how to be a light to one another, how to hang on and how to bear with each other. God, through tough times, through difficult times, through easy times. God, that we would learn to love each other as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anybody have a best friend? Hey, nice. How long have you been best friends with that person? Just say it. Say that nice. 6 years? For your whole life? Now you and your friend, do you get along all the time? It's a pretty direct answer. Pretty quick. Well, I have a daughter. Her name is Olivia. She's stinking adorable. I love that girl so much. And she has a best friend. And her name is Riley. And she's loved her entire life. Is like 3 years, so it's not that much. And most of the time, until probably the last year, we just kind of made them play with each other, so they probably didn't really know. But anyways, they are still best friends. And they always want to be together. Olivia loves hanging out with Riley. She's constantly asking, "Can I go see Riley? Can I go to Riley's house?" Or she'll ask to go to Aubrey's house, which is her mom. "Can I go to Aubrey's, hang out with Riley?" And every time we pray, she brings up Riley. "Let's pray for Riley. Let's pray for Aubrey. Let's pray for Lily." And she just loves them and cares about Riley so much. You ever ask her who her favorite person is? It's Riley. It's the first thing. She has a little fake phone. Well, everything's a little fake phone. And she'll call Riley all the time. "Hey, Riley. Yep, just doing this. Okay, talk to you later. Bye." And hang up. She's constantly thinking about this girl. She really loves Riley. They're best friends. But these girls can fight. Like, they are constantly bickering with each other, taking each other's stuff. One time, or the minute that somebody picks up a toy, the other one will just take it from them and run away. It's like their goal to make the other one angry sometimes. And they just take it from each other, and they're constantly just at each other's face. But they love each other. And they'll fight, and they'll pinch, and they'll bite each other. They'll pull each other's hair. Well, Livy usually bites Riley. Riley doesn't as much bite back. We got a little biter. She doesn't bite as much anymore, but she used to. Good little bite. I was a biter too. It must be genetic. Still a biter, so watch out. But they still love each other no matter what, no matter how difficult of a time they go through, and especially when it's their nap time And I'm sure we get like this when it's our nap time. They start to get even more irritated with each other. And they get annoyed of each other. And they learn these kind of words. And they're like, you're so annoying right now. Annoying, annoying, annoying. That's what Olivia said. Right? And they bug each other like crazy. But they love each other so much. And they stick together. And no matter what, even if they've had a rough day and they've been at each other's face the whole time, the minute we leave, she'll say, I want to go hang out with Riley. I want to go back and be with Riley. I'm like, really? You just like punched her in the face. You still want to be there with her? She didn't really punch her in the face. But she still wants to be with her. She still hangs on and still wants that friendship to work and still wants to be with them. And I think a lot of us are like this in our relationships. All of you said no. That you don't have a perfect relationship with your friend, but you've learned to work through the difficulties. You learn to go through hard times together and you work it out. You bear with one another. You make things work even when it's difficult. You fight with each other. You gossip about each other, but then you love each other still and you call each other back. Say, let's hang out. Can I come over and play? You guys still say that, right? Right? You still want to be together. You still want to hang out. And man, that's what makes that close relationship, that close friendship, is the willingness to hang on through difficult times. The willingness to hang on even when you don't get along all the time. See, when Jesus is sitting down with his disciples, they're at the Last Supper. And Jesus is teaching them as much as he can in these last few hours that he has with them. And if we look back just a little bit, like literally one sentence back, Jesus had just called out Judas and said basically that Judas was going to betray him. And Judas had just left to do that very thing and go betray Jesus. And Jesus says this, and he sits him down and he says, look, I want you. I'm not going to be around here much longer. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to go to a place that you cannot follow me. But what I want you to know is that you are called to love one another. Love in the way that I have loved you. Now we look at this. Judas was about to betray him. And he still is talking about loving one another. And then the very next sentence, Peter says, let me go with you. I want to go with you. And he says, no, you can't come with me. Did you just push me away? I can stand next to you. He says, you cannot come with me. And he's telling him that he's going to die. And Peter says, no, I will die for you, Jesus. And Jesus says, really? You sure about that? He says, to be honest, you're going to betray me or you're going to deny me 3 times in front of all these people when I'm about to die on the cross. And so that very thing happens. But Jesus is still sitting him down in this very crucial moment and telling him to love one another. Even though you guys are going to deny me, I love you. Love in the same way that I have showed you love and continued to show you love. Right? He had just gotten done washing their feet too. Their nasty, disgusting feet that they just walk barefoot around in. He just washed their feet. And he shows them the act of service and he says, look, I want you to love one another. And he's talking specifically about the disciples. Specifically about believers. Now, the Bible refers to one another many times throughout the scriptures, throughout Jesus speaking, and then throughout all Paul's letters and Peter's and all throughout the New Testament, it talks about one another. Now, one another is referred to believers. Now, Jesus says the way that you love one another, others are going to know that you are mine, that you are my disciples by the way that you love each other. See, he starts with believers. If you can't love another believer who has Jesus living inside them, how are you going to love somebody of the world that doesn't love you back? So he says, I'm starting with you. Love one another. Be an example in your love. And so when it goes one another and when it says one another in the Bible, it's talking amongst believers. We are called to love one another. You are called to love the people that are also believers that are sitting in this room. We're called to get along with each other and love each other and pursue each other. We are called to live this life together that we wouldn't live it on our own. And to be honest with you, you need each other. It's difficult to go through hard times by yourself. I'd say it's impossible to do everything alone by yourself and to make it through and still be grateful and still be happy. We need each other to build each other up, to encourage each other, to challenge one another, to pull out the best in one another. God has ordained it this way that the full expression of His love would come through us as we love one another. That's pretty amazing that God's full love is expressed when we love each other, when we trade our lives for each other, when we're an example of His love. And so He makes this pretty crucial statement to them, telling them, this is what I've called you to do. And He says, it's funny, He says it like this. He says, this is a new commandment. But in the Old Testament, one of the commandments was love your neighbor as yourself. Right? It was already an old covenant principle. They already knew this. They already knew they were called to love one another. But Jesus says this is a new commandment. And see, what Jesus is talking about is a deeper understanding of this love. I'm not telling you just to love in the way that the world loves. I'm telling you to love in an opposite way. That when somebody doesn't love you back, doesn't care for you, denies you as all of them were about to do, you still love them. You still pursue them. You still hang with them. You still bear with them. He was talking about this deeper expression of love that hangs on, that doesn't let go, that doesn't give up. It's a new commandment because it's deeper than the old one. It goes beyond you loving me back. It's me loving you because I care about you, not because you do anything for me. It's about me believing in you when you don't believe in me. It's about me building you up when you continually push me down. See, and that's why it's so crucial to see the context of this, is it's just before Jesus, or Judas is about to betray him. And then right before he's about to say to Peter that he's going to deny him three times. And then all of the disciples scatter in the middle of Jesus' crucifixion. None of them were right there with him. They all left. They all, in a way, denied him or betrayed him because they weren't with him in his most crucial time. But Jesus knew that. He knew that's what was going to happen. And he loved them anyways and told them, this is how they will know that you are mine, is by your love, by the way that you love people in this way that I'm going to show you. By dying this death on the cross by myself without you there. The Bible even says, and Jesus even says, that the Father forsook him. Sure. Says, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, he was in full aloneness, full abandonment. But he did it anyways because he thought of us, because he knew that he needed to make a way for us to be reconciled to him. And that's the kind of love that Jesus was talking about, that we are called to love one another in. Now, one another, or we call it one anothering, is in the Bible about 59 times. Push my glasses up as I say that. About 59 times it talks about one another and different descriptions of what one another means and what we should do with one another. The first thing and the main thing, and then Jesus talks about this, is that we are called to love one another. You are called to love one another. If you can't love other Christians, it's going to be pretty difficult for you to love people in the world, people that are even more broken than us, right? We know we're not perfect and we still are broken and we're still tempted and we still are sinful. But we have the living God living inside of us. So how are we going to love other people outside and into the world, in the world, if we can't love one another, right? So we're called to love one another. It says it about a billion times, not literally, but like 8. Make your love increase and overflow for each other. And then I'll read again. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. We know how Justin a couple of weeks ago was speaking about how faith without works is dead. And that works is what perfects our faith. Right? If we don't have any works in our faith, it's useless. It's not operating. The same thing with our love. Our love is only effective when it's operating, when we are choosing to love one another. That's where it's made perfect or made complete, is when we choose to love one another, when we choose to love when somebody doesn't love us back, when we choose to encourage when we're being let down. We are called to love one another. We're called to be at peace with one another, to live in harmony, not to constantly be bickering back and forth like Olivia and Riley constantly do, but to live in peace with one another, not to look for little things to point out in each other, but to love each other anyways, in spite of our little annoying habits that we have. I can annoy my wife quite a bit sometimes. Not on purpose, sometimes on purpose. Not always on purpose. But she chooses to love me through my annoyances, through the little things, through the little tappings and poking her head constantly. No, I don't really do that often. But she chooses to love me through it, right? We have to choose to love each other and live in peace. If we're constantly annoyed by the little things that each other does, how are we going to love one another? Right? We're called to live in peace with one another, to live in harmony, to offer hospitality, not hostility, hospitality to one another without grumbling. We're called to serve. Jesus says, wash one another's feet. How many of you have washed someone else's feet? Really? Impressive. Your dad made you? Your brother made you? That's so funny. Somebody made you, so that's not the same thing. Right? We're called to serve one another, to be a blessing to somebody else. See, serving someone does something that's not exactly what you would really love doing. I mean, unless you have some weird foot fetish, you probably do not love washing people's feet. And he said that on purpose. Yeah, it's a disgusting thing, but it's sacrificing yourself to bless somebody else. See, that's what serving is. It's doing something without wanting something back. Right? It's volunteering at somewhere and not expecting to get paid for it. It's doing the dishes at home and not waiting for your mom to yell at you 16 times first. Or your wife. Just kidding. Right? We are called to serve, to be a blessing, not so we can get anything out of it, but so that somebody else can get something out of it. We're called to serve one another, to bless them. We're called to clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. When you come together, eat and wait for each other. Honor one another. Humble yourselves. Not look only to what you can get out of it, but serve somebody and bless them in humility. Look to build somebody else up. How many of you think you're right most of the time? Let's be honest. All the time. Right? So humble yourself, Josiah. Humble yourself before each other. We're called to lay our lives down to be a blessing. Jesus was perfectly perfect. And he could have proven his innocence, but he humbled himself and died on the cross anyways. God has called us to live a life of humility towards one another. If we can't live in peace and harmony with one another, it's probably because we don't humble ourselves. We think we're better than the other person. We think the other person's too annoying. We think the other person should dress a little bit nicer, should put some deodorant on, should fix their hair every once in a while. Right? I fix my hair. Psh, kind of. Right? We are called to humble ourselves, even if we don't exactly get along great with that person all the time. Our chemistry isn't perfect. Humble yourself. Try and get along with somebody anyways. I see, that's what Paul was talking about when he said, come all things to all men in order to win some to Jesus. He was talking about getting into some other people's interests just so that you can get to know them better and show the love of God through them. I don't like Pokemon. But I will hang out with somebody that does like Pokemon and talk to him about it and ask him about it and probably almost fall asleep, but I will still do it and try to care. It's humbling ourselves before other people so that they can see the love of God through us. We are called to be that light and to be that example. But it comes with some sacrifice. We're called to encourage one another, build one another up, encourage one another daily, spur one another toward love and good deeds, carry each other's burdens. Look to encourage somebody. Look to see potential in Brad and pull it out of him. Look to see something in other people in order to make them more like him, make them even better of who God has placed them to be and made them to be. We're called to encourage, to be a blessing. These all seem like simple things that we've done and that we know. We know, okay, encourage people. Okay, I'm supposed to be humble. But this is the expression of God's love is fully expressed when we learn to love one another. And we don't do that perfectly, and we don't do it even perfectly within the church. And he says the way that you love one another, the people in the church, is the way that people are going to see Jesus. You might be the only expression of Jesus to somebody. How are you choosing to love people? How are you choosing to live your life? Are you constantly annoyed by people and constantly moving away from others and constantly dodging people when you know them at cars and you're like, oh man, I don't want to talk to that person. You're all laughing because you do it. Me too. But we're called to be different than the world. If we don't stand out from the world, then they're going to see us just as somebody else. And God's love won't be expressed through us. That's why it has to be opposite of what the world sees. Right? The world tries to better themselves. We're called to lay ourselves down low and build someone else up. But it comes through the way we choose to love one another. It starts in this youth room. It starts in this group. It starts in you learning to love one another, learning to get along with each other, learning to live at peace, learning to humble yourself, even if you think you're right. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Even if you think you're right, humble yourself. Hey, you just admitted it so strongly, so I had to call you out. Right? Humble yourself. Serve one another. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples at the very end. He's saying they're going to know you are mine by the way that you love. And even though people are going to deny you, even though people are going to hurt you, even though people are going to annoy you, even though people are not going to believe in you sometimes, bear with them. Hang on. Keep loving them. Keep pursuing them. Keep going after them. If we don't go deep in our love for one another, how are other people going to see the depth of God's love through us? If we're not willing to sacrifice ourselves in front of people, if we're not willing to sacrifice us being right, if we're not willing to sacrifice maybe somebody making fun of us, or maybe somebody not really believing in us, or maybe somebody not being friends with us anymore, be willing to be that example of Jesus, that he still loved them and he knew what they were going to do to him. He knew that all of them would be gone at the moment that he needed them the most. And the moment that he was dying, they would all be gone, and he knew it. And he still said, love people. Pursue people, even if they hurt you. Even if they wrong you. Even if they don't believe in you. Even if they make fun of you in front of the whole school but are your friends at church. Continue to pursue them, to love them. It says, stop passing judgment on one another. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, you will be destroyed by each other. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. Do not lie to each other. Do not slander each other. Do not grumble against each other. We do this within the church to each other. Even more so will we take this outside into the world where we're easily tempted and everybody else is doing it. And it's a lot easier just to fit in. See, Jesus doesn't call us to fit in. He was telling them the exact opposite was to stand out. When everybody else is making fun of somebody, You stand up for them. You believe in them. You encourage them. You empower them. You serve them. You bless them. Right? We're called to stand out as believers. And that is how people are going to see the love of God. Not by you just going and preaching Jesus to them. Not by you just saying, oh, Jesus is so awesome, and go through the whole gospel of who Jesus is. That works some of the time. But Jesus even said they'll know that you're mine, not by the way that you preach the gospel, but by the way that you love people. That you love them when they make fun of you. That you pursue them when they run away from you. That you pursue people within the church that when they're falling back into their old habits, you go after them anyways and you bear with them. You hang on to them. You don't let them go. When you're going back to your old habits and you have the tendency to run away, stay with them. Stay with one another. Keep pursuing each other. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. I promise this is all scripture. I'm just not reading them all. Have equal concern for each other. Instruct one another or teach one another. Be kind and compassionate. Greet one another with a holy kiss, but you don't have to do that. I actually encourage you not to do that. Right? That was culturally different then. It'd be like giving somebody a fist bump now. Right? Give somebody a high five. Give a girl a side hug. Give a guy a full-on hug, if you're a guy. Right? That we show love to one another. The last thing is that we bear with each other. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. That word, those words, bear with, means this: to put up with, to endure, to suffer. Sometimes it's suffering when you're putting up with somebody. It might really be annoying you. But continue to pursue them. Continue to suffer through that. It means to hold up or hold back from falling. Somebody's struggling, when somebody's going in the wrong direction, that you show them love by encouraging them to come back, by holding on to them, by not allowing them to fall and stumble. Not by saying, well, you'll figure it out. Good luck. But that we bear with each other. To restrain or to stop. To have patience with in regard to weakness or errors. I think a lot of us struggle with this. It's hard for us to have patience with people when we see their weaknesses. Gosh, why can't you just get over that? Why can't you just be better? Why can't you just be less annoying and less obnoxious? Why can't you just grow up? Why can't you just get through puberty already? Right? Bear with one another through our weaknesses, through the times that we mess up, through the times that we sin against one another. Forgive one another. Don't live in bitterness and anger, but learn to forgive. Learn to let go. Learn to embrace one another and love each other anyways. Bear with one another. You belong with one another. Not by accident, but on purpose. You belong. You belong together. You belong here. You belong with us. You belong with me, and I belong with you. And we would encourage each other and build each other up and call out who Jesus is in one another. Someone's got to believe in you. Might as well be us. We're called to believe in one another and to build each other up. Brad, every time you stand up, I feel like you're going to tackle me. One of these days, it'll happen. I'm watching my back. Bear with each other through the difficulties, through each other's hurts, while others are going through puberty, while others are going through other things we won't talk about. Right when we're struggling, when we're in sin, that we bear with each other, that we believe in each other still. Your love, God's love is perfected in the way that you love one another. So we need to learn to love each other, to bear with each other, to hang on to each other through the difficulties, through the annoyances, that we bear with one another. Will you stand with me? Scott, will you come up? I want to read this scripture again. So I'm going to do it because I have the microphone. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. You are empowered by the Spirit of God living inside of you. And that's why we spoke before about the importance of us knowing God and us being with him. The more you're with God, the more you become like him. The more you sit down and understand God's love for you, the more you start to express the love of God to other people. But know that you are called to belong not just to God, but to one another, to each other. To be a part of this family, to be a part of this body. And you are an important part of this body. You belong here. So don't give up and don't run away. If somebody hurts you or somebody embarrasses you, stay together, hang on, bear with them. Nobody wants to lose anybody else. We're a part of this family. When you leave, it's like missing a limb. You're important. You belong here. You belong together. I was talking to Dick Benjamin yesterday, who's the pastor or the founder of this church. And he's been serving God for almost 70 years. He's 89 years old right now. And this guy loves Jesus and he loves people and he's been serving people for 70 years, sending thousands and thousands of people out. And he's seen people leave him and he's seen people just up and go because the music is too loud or because they don't agree exactly with what he's saying or they have doctrinal differences. Or they don't like the time of the service, so they just leave. And he says, I still feel those hurts. I still feel those pains over 70 years of it. It still hurts. And he said, but that's a good thing because it shows that I still love. I still love God and I still love people. After 70 years of watching people be hurt, leave, even die, he still loved them and he still kept his heart soft and gentle towards people because he cares, because he loves, not because they do anything for him. He's such a perfect example of love. He goes every single day to see his sick wife who has Alzheimer's that doesn't even remember it. But he goes every single day to see her and to talk to her and to love her. He is an example of Christ to all the people at the hospital because he shows up every day. He could not show up one day and she wouldn't know. But he loves so much that he goes anyways. Man, I know that'd be so difficult to see my wife not be able to remember me, but to show up every day and to go through that again and again. But he does it anyways. He endures anyways. He bears with her. And he shows the love of God. We are called to live that way, that we bear with one another through the hard times, through the difficult times. Most likely, when people are the most annoyed at you or the most annoying, it's because they need you the most. And when they're running away, it's because they really want you to pursue them and come after them. People will know you are his disciples by the way that you love, by the way you go after people, the way you bear with people, even when it's agonizing, even when you're struggling doing it. You're called to be an example. You're called to love through it. You're called to push through it and to bear with one another. We belong with each other. We belong together. We are part of the family of Christ. We're part of that body, that unit. You're called to stick together and to be a blessing to each other. Will you close your eyes? I want to pray over you. I want you to just think about this. Are you being that love of God to one another? Obviously, we're not perfect. And we all have our struggles and we all have our differences and the hard things that it is for us to go after people for. But where is your heart? And are you allowing God to shape that in you? This isn't to condemn you or convict you. It's that God would show you those areas of your life that you're not completely pursuing him in and pursuing other people. Don't give up on people. That's what the world does. It gives up on people when they annoy them. It gives up on people when they wrong them. We're called to stand out, to be different, to forgive, to admit our own weaknesses, to humble ourselves, to bear with one another. Father, we thank you that your love is so strong in us. God, we thank you that you bear with us even when we're struggling and we're running away and we're blaming you for things you didn't do. God, you love us anyways. And Father, we thank you that your love is evident in us. And God, that you are continually showing and proving your love through us. God, help us to continue to want more of that love. To be that example to other people, that they would see your love by the way we love each other. That we would have such a strong bond and unit together, God, that people would see us and say, I want that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be loved the way that they love. Help us individually to pursue knowing your love deeper. And to pursue being more like you in your love. God, we love you. We honor you. We thank you, God, that you're with us. We thank you that you're encouraging us and you're pouring into us. We pray, Lord, this week, God, we would learn and we would pursue loving each other more. We would go after those we've forgotten about. And even when it hurts, we would bear with them. Thank you that you bear with us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I encourage you to be a blessing this week, to go after people, to not be afraid to love others, even if they're not loving you back. Be a blessing. We love you. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you all next week.